I'm calling the Planning Commission and Plating Board to order at 6 o'clock. May I have a roll call?
Certainly. Hatfield.
Here.
Bagley. Absent. Williams.
Here.
Marquez.
Here.
And Brown. Hey, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Are there any revisions to the agenda?
Staff have none.
Okay, hearing none, we will approve that. Any appearance requests?
No, not for the Planning Commission, at least.
Any announcements?
I'll just give one announcement that we have. If you haven't taken already, we have a transit study going on as part of a survey, as part of our comprehensive plan. You can find the link, probably easiest ways, on KUCB's website. Takes 5 minutes. It's anonymous. Yeah, appreciate you doing it if you haven't already.
Oh, great. We'll do that. You guys have any announcements?
Wrestling team's doing a bake sale on Wednesday, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We're going to be doing like pies and stuff. So if you guys need any desserts while you're last minute shopping for Thanksgiving, swing on by the store and help support our wrestling team to get us all to Bethel.
Awesome. Thank you.
Museum will have free admission through the month of December, but starting the day after Thanksgiving, courtesy of Mattson. I need a motion to approve the minutes from October 16th. Motion by Helen. Can I have a second?
Second.
Second by Vernier. Are there any concerns, questions, changes to the minutes? Hearing none, we will, are there any, well, I guess we'll just approve those as is. Okay, no public hearing, no old business. Moving on to new business. Resolution 2025, approving a conditional use permit for engine repair and machining on Tract A, Eider Point Subdivision. May I have a motion to approve?
I'll make the motion to approve Resolution 2025-04.
Helen seconded. All right. Yeah.
Okay, and I'm actually going to turn this one over to Daniel, who prepared the staff report.
Thank you. And I think for the records, my name is Daniel Opoku, and I'm an associate planner for the City of Pwn Alaska. And I'll be presenting this staff report for the resolution, for the fourth resolution, which is in 2025. And this resolution is actually a conditional use permit requested from Cummins Incorporation. And I think they want to use this actually lot for a vehicle repair and machine shop that is located at 2315 Airport Beach Road, unit number 4. And I would like to give a brief history and probably some findings that I did when I was preparing this report. The applicant, Cummins Incorporation, is leasing a commercial space within the Eider Point subdivision. The property is zoned general commercial, and it's under the Pwn Alaska Code of Ordinance, that is Chapter 8.12.070, and it's subsection D, item 13. And this speaks about what is supposed to be done or what could be used as a conditional use permit, and that is vehicle repair and machining, which requires a permit. The site is surrounded by commercial and warehouse uses along Airport Beach Road, and the use is consistent with the established character of the corridor, and no exterior construction or expansion is proposed. I would like to talk briefly about the findings. Staff reviewed the application under the criteria of Pwn Alaska City Code Ordinance that is subject chapter 8.1200 under the subsection C. And we found out that under the comprehensive plan, I think the youth supports economic development by expanding local repair services and reducing reliance on off-island maintenance, which I think is in accordance with the On-Alaska Comprehensive Plan. And we also looked at the compatibility. And the proposed operation is compatible with the surrounding commercial and light industrial uses. And also we wanted to look at the impact, how it's going to impact the environment and the surrounding. And we found out that all work will occur indoors, as discussed, and staff anticipate no impact greater than what is expected from other permitted commercial uses. Everything is going to be indoor, and I don't think it's going to have a lot of impact on the outside. These are some of the conditions that we discussed, or some of the conditions that came up, and some of the conditions when this application was being submitted was discussed. Staff recommends several standard conditions, including all repairs and machining activities must occur indoors. No outdoor storage, dismantling, or fluid disposal. Hours limited to 8 o'clock a.m. to 6 p.m. unless otherwise approved. Any exterior changes or signage must comply with zoning and building codes. So looking at all these conditions, in conclusion, staff recommend approval of resolution number 4 in the year 2025, granting the conditional use permit for Kerman's Incorporation as presented. This concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. Any comments?
I think that Daniel did a really good job at just explaining the purpose of this business opening it up in that location. I think he did a great job at explaining that it's not going to interfere with anything. All the businesses around there, pretty much the same. They do the same thing. They're not going to be disturbing anyone. They're going to be working inside. So I don't really see a reason for us to decline this application. So I think it's all the bases are covered. It sounds like a good plan.
Thank you, Renier. Helen? Yeah.
Excited.
I think so Cummins, correct me if I'm wrong, is mostly heavy equipment engines. I think yeah, not repair for your car, more if you have heavy equipment that they need to work on. You got an excavator or something that you need fixed. Probably a good place. Hey, Helen, just a reminder. Just a reminder that to turn on your mic so Vicky can hear us. Yeah.
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
Vicky, did you have any comments?
No, ma'am.
I also think it's really good to have and promote business, and it's definitely good for our city. And thank you for your report. So I'm in full support. We can, I guess, move to a vote.
Okay. So Hatfield.
Yes.
Williams.
Yes.
Marquez.
Yes.
And Brown. Yes. Okay, the motion passes 4-0.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to our work session, we have the FY27 to 36 capital major maintenance plan priorities.
Or can I just ask for a motion and a second to move us into a work session?
I'm sorry. Yes, may I have a motion to work us into a works, move us into a work session?
I'd like to file a motion to move on to our work session.
Held and seconded.
Okay, moved by Marquez, seconded by Brown. Okay, if you'd like.
Yeah, so yeah, please, any comments on our?
Sure. So I just wanted to take this opportunity to update Planning Commission on the CMMP process for this year. We haven't talked about this in a while, so just remind you, it's a 10-year plan that we update annually, and we're just getting started in that cycle for this coming year. We're changing a bit how we start that process and how we prioritize projects. So I wanted to give the priorities that we'll be presenting to council to you next week at their meeting. We're trying to go to a system where we're coordinating our priorities for our own local plan, the CMMP, with the legislative priorities that the city uses, like what we decide to advocate for at the state and federal levels. So is that our priorities are looking a little more specific now than they used to? So I just wanted to go through those briefly, getting comments from Planning Commission about that, and we'll use that to help us guide the development of the plan. We're trying to make sure we're on the right direction when we start this. It's about 6 months of work, and we want to make sure that what we're doing is consistent with what ultimately council is looking for. But we'd also really like to hear comments from the Planning Commission. So with that, let's go through these briefly. We have five priorities. The first is from an overall one, and that's just roof and facility maintenance. As you might remember, we did a roofing study that just completed that found about $25 million in roof repairs spread across 27 buildings owned by the city. In addition to that, it looked at a number of building systems apart from roofs in a couple buildings, like the high school, the aquatic center, the airport terminal building, and found that there's about an additional $19 million in recommended repairs to those buildings. So looking at about $44 million in total recommended repairs from that, and that varies from roofs that have failed and really need to be replaced immediately if we want to save the building, to repairs that are recommended, but a little less urgent, so more regular maintenance type activities. So the approach we're going to be proposing to council next week is to group a lot of these roofing repairs into phases that each phase covering multiple buildings. And the idea there is that we can gain some efficiencies. We can have a single contractor handle multiple buildings within a single season. So we're reducing mobilization costs that way. Also reduces some of the city project management overhead that comes along with that we would get from handling 27 individual projects and contracting those all separately. But then also we hope creates a more attractive opportunity for potential contractors that they can, it's enough work that someone can come out with a crew, stay here all summer, work on a bunch of buildings, and they're not trying to piecemeal work together to make it worth their while. Going forward with this, we're really looking to develop better ongoing maintenance plans for these buildings. We've developed a bit of a maintenance backlog, and we're trying to keep this from happening in the future. And those will be spread across the entire 10-year planning period. Second priority is the fire and police station. This has shown up on CMMPs for years now. It's honestly, it looked a little different in different years. Originally, looking at this as constructing a dedicated police station, and currently the plan would be to construct a dedicated fire station with an integrated training center, and then following that, renovate the police station. We did a feasibility study that completed this year that lays out that plan in a little bit more detail. But ultimately, I think what's been clear from the inclusion of this, unless I'm going to say 5 to 10 years of plans, Dennis can probably give me a little more history on that. But there's deficiencies in the current building for both police and fire. It's just not enough space, not working for them. right now is creating some operational challenges, and the building itself has some condition problems that need to be addressed. So this is our plan to do that. This is a project that we'd intend to be very grant dependent. There's a lot happening at the state level for funding for this type of project, and we'd also be layering that on with other funding opportunities. So I think this project is a little more varied in how the scheduling would work just based on the funding we're able to secure for it. And we'd recommend, you know, from that external funding, we'd recommend making this a state legislative priority as well. The third is a repair or replacement of the Aquatic Center. So this is one of the buildings that was assessed on the roofing and facility study. The roof has failed. There's also some other problems with the building envelope that need to be fixed. So there's an immediate need there. But on the longer term, we have about 10 years remaining on the pool itself, the hardware for it, the pumps and everything. So, and that's even if we fix the building. So there are some immediate issues that need to be repaired, but then we need to look longer term of what's going to happen with this. So there was PCR put funding for feasibility study into their budget for this year. If city council wants to continue with this as a priority, they immediately put out a RFP for a feasibility on this to determine what our best path forward is, whether it's just repairing it in kind in place, doing a renovation there, or building a new facility somewhere else. Fourth is a priority that's shown up for a long time now, Captain's Bay Road paving and utilities. So at the moment, paving has been funded through Westward Seafoods. That's was a state grant that we received. That's being managed by State Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. It's going to take a couple of seasons to complete. We've also fully funded water extensions down to the end of the public right-of-way, which is at OSI, and that's in progress right now. Funding for electric extensions have been partially funded on that road. We are, the funding would not put in enough capacity to handle the current customer base there, so it would be needing additional funding for that. And then wastewater also is currently unfunded. So our current plan would be to continue seeking funding for this project so we can finish extending the utilities and then also the paving. Once the state's current phase of paving is complete, we're looking to how we can pave the rest of the road. And then one thing we're looking at there is mechanisms that would shift some of the cost of those infrastructure improvements more onto the businesses that are directly benefiting from them. There's a lot of ways to do that. When we've talked before about a local improvement district, so we would be working with the city's engineering contractors to evaluate that and present options to city council. Then the last one is the airport terminal and air service more broadly here. Similar to the Aquatic Center, there are some serious immediate needs at the airport terminal building, which just need to be fixed. But there's also additional repairs that will be needed to keep it in service long term. So there's similarly that longer term question of, do we repair it as it is here? Do we do a renovation? Do we build a new building? So the plan would be to do those immediate necessary repairs we do, while also studying, doing a deeper assessment of the building, because this roofing assessment is more like a visual assessment, to figure out the best path forward with that. At the same time, there's all the broader issues with the airport that I think we're all familiar with the cost and reliability of flying here. So we're looking to work with consultants that can help us work through some of the regulatory and industry issues with the airport. So things like essential air service, instrument landing procedures, the design aircraft for the runway, all of that to help put us in a better position to make long-term decisions about the airport. I think when we talk about making flying better here, our minds usually jump immediately to, you know, to extend the runway. That is, you know, pretty substantial investment. And I think there's some work that we need to do to understand both the current situation there and what we can improve before we start looking at those major infrastructure improvements. And, you know, similarly to the fire station or Captain's Bay Road, we would definitely be looking to make that a legislative priority as well. That's a local priority that council wants to tackle, because that obviously the state owns the airport. There's a lot of federal funding typically goes into airport improvements. So that would necessarily be a state and federal legislative priority if we want to pursue it. That is all I have. We'll be presenting these to council next week. If you have any questions or comments, I'd love to hear them. Or other suggestions for priorities that you might have as well.
Renier, do you have any comments?
I think just the investment in our time, energy, and of course money into fixing our buildings in the cities. Important not just for the durability of the buildings in the future, but I think that people's safety is invaluable. So getting that taken care of straight away is, I think, really, really important. And then improving infrastructure out to Captain's Bay, I think that should be a priority as well, because that is a heavy impact on our economy. I would like to hear more about the operational issues that would that come about from, I mean, just not expanding the fire station, police station, because I think they do a great job already. They do a great job in times of emergency, and I think they train their volunteers, their workers, well enough, like right now. So I'd be interested in just kind of hearing how expanding and opening up a new fire station and a police station would benefit in their day-to-day operations. I'm not saying I'm against it. I think I would like to know more about that, just from a personal standpoint. But above all, I think that safety is our number one priority, and whatever it'll take for us to improve safety, make sure that our students, our workers, and other community workers are safe, I think that is our number one priority. And any little project that I see that involves safety should be a main priority there. And then, of course, I think that airplanes flying is going to affect everyone. So any kind of improvement there, I think, would be beneficial to the city. And that's all I got.
Thank you, Helen. Vicki, do you have any comments?
No, I agree. Safety of everybody. The airport, I'll tell you, it should be on the top of the list of the safety of the school and the city hall and the swim pool. To me, the fire station and the paving the roads are my least. They're on the bottom of my list as far as I'm concerned. You know, I just want everybody safe and protected, especially landing, because I have to go back and forth. That airport really needs to be done some repairs. It's horrible. I hate going to that bathroom. And, man, I tell you, there's hardly no room for people when it's packed in there. So they got to do something. Add another room or whatever. You know, it's so busy. But, yep, safety is my number one priority for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Vicki. Yeah, I also agree. I know with the fire, I think they need a place where they can regularly train on fire, putting out fires, like a fire. I can't remember what they call those rooms, but it's this room where they burn things and then put things out. And I know that's one of the things I hear them talking about, needing to be able to make sure their people are trained to put out fires, because otherwise they have to go around and randomly burn down structures in our neighborhood. And I don't know if any of you have experienced that, where smoke comes into your face or into where you're working, but it's not fun. So I would love it if they had a dedicated place where they could train on that. But I also really don't know those logistical issues that they're having there, but I do support them having a good infrastructure. Feel like a lot of these projects have been on the city's plan for a while, and it's an important thing to keep up our infrastructure for sure, especially our roofs. So I support it too, and Hope Springs Eternal for the airlines, the bigger jets.
Yeah, I should have said at the beginning that, you know, these priorities aren't coming out of nowhere. I'm not making them up. They're all based on past plans that Planning Commission and City Council have adopted, whether that's past CMMPs, comprehensive plans, or, you know, some of the more specific plans, like the PCR master plan that identified the pool as, you know, a top goal. So that's the course that's been set. We're showing how we can implement that. And I think if Council and Planning Commission want to change that course, then we can do that.
I think we're all in support of it. I don't know of any any additional ideas for the project, except for the museum. I guess we can move on. Do we need a motion?
I think we do, yeah.
I'd like to file a motion to move on from our work session.
I think Helen seconds. All right, and then that completes our planning and planning board meeting. We can adjourn at 6:26.
I think we just need a motion and second to adjourn. Sorry.
Second.
And we're adjourned.
Starting the Planning Commission at 6:26 p.m.
And thanks, everybody. Good night.
Oh, hey, Vicki, if you could stay on the line, we got historic preservation.
Okay.
And I saw Andres from the Kabalungan tribe called in as well. So thanks for joining, Andres.
Thank you, Cameron. Thank you, Commissioner, for receiving me. I shared with Dr. Hatfield and with the commission and with Cameron a letter on behalf of the U.S. Department of Transportation of Maritime Administration, or MARAD.
Hey Andres.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Sorry, I don't want to cut you off, but do you mind if we get into the actual item before?
Sorry.
Yep. And then I also wanted to recognize we have Dennis Robinson in the audience from the Kabalungan tribe.
I'll call the Historic Preservation Commission to order at 6:27. May I have a roll call?
Certainly. Hatfield.
Here.
Bagley. Absent. Williams.
Here.
Marquez.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Veter is absent. And Dean is here. So you have a quorum.
Thank you. Are there any revisions to the agenda?
Staff have none.
Hearing none, we'll move on. Appearance requests, we have Dennis Robinson and Andres. I'll just move on. Any announcements?
Staff have none.
Okay. Minutes from the September 18th meeting. Motion?
File a motion to accept the minutes from September 18th.
Okay, moved by Marquez, seconded by Brown.
Thank you. Any changes or edits to the minutes? Hearing none, we will accept the minutes as presented. Okay, so moving into our agenda, public hearing, there are no items, old business, no items, new business, no items. May I have a motion to move into the work session?
Second.
Okay, moved by Brown, seconded by Marquez.
Thank you. And I guess we can now discuss the item on our agenda.
Okay, this is a letter the Historic Preservation Commission received regarding Section 106 initiation from U.S. Department of Transportation. It's regarding a project being led by the Kabalungan tribe for the CMA dock expansion. I'm going to turn it over to Andres if you would like to introduce this.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Cameron. And again, thank you, commissioners, and sorry for jumping the gun. First time I've presented this to Planning Commission. So thank you so much for having us. Just very briefly, this is one of the very large infrastructure projects that the Kabalungan tribe is leading in regards to on Alaska. This is the North Barge expansion for CMA Dock. It is approximately a 5-acre expansion that will allow additional loading and unloading and additional storage space for a containers, which will, you know, increase throughput and flow through and through the docks. It will also bring up greater economic opportunities, as well as alleviate some of the current pressures that exist on the actual terminal. Because this is a large capital project, which will involve some drilling and construction activities, we are required to not only do NEPA permitting, but also permitting because we are in a historic area, which is why we are required by MARAD to send to all stakeholders identified in the area, including the city of Onalaska, the Onalaska Corporation, as well as surrounding communities. So this letter that is presented from MARAD details everything that will be done and the reasons why we're asking to be presented here at commission. And I am open to any questions.
Thank you, Andres. Any questions or thoughts on this project? Vicki?
No, I heard it.
All right, thanks. I think this is a great project. I think it's definitely important for the growth and economic situation for this city because container ships are very important, and we're in a terrific spot. And I think it's going to be great. And I appreciated the Section 106 review of the area. It definitely looks like it primarily has historic features, but not much that will be impacted and in any significant way. And building out is going to be kind of an easy thing to do, easy, quote unquote, at least with cultural resources. I think it's a great project.
Perfect. Yeah, Andres, I did have one question. Since this project is mostly happening in the water, you're putting in fill, is there any concern about resources in the water?
In terms of what specifically, or what do you mean by resources in the water?
I guess cultural resources, if they're, I don't know the areas. They're, I don't know which wrecks or anything like that that would be impacted.
No, so in terms of historic artifacts that would be at risk in the area, so one of the reasons why this specific shelf was selected or tidelands is it is almost completely bedrock, and I believe there's pictures further down the screen, like a little bit of closer pictures. If you scroll, maybe or they might be further up. Sorry. Maybe keep going a little bit up. Oh, there you go. So if you want to stop in that picture, as you can tell, it is mostly exposed bedrock, so there is very little sediment. Effectively, what that indicates is that there is very little to basically no risk of there being any artifacts in the area, just simply because there's nowhere for the items to be buried, so they would have been already washed away. However, one of the members from High Tide Environmental, Kelly, has been on site, and they have done a walkthrough of the beach as part of the 106 process to make sure that there wasn't any, you know, any artifacts that could be found, and they're basically were not found. So did that answer your question, Cameron?
It did, yeah. Thank you for that.
Yep.
I think there are no other... I wasn't... Yeah, I agree about the cultural resources as an archaeologist. You know, I thought that it doesn't look too promising for anything interesting there. So if there's no other comments or questions or concerns, what do we do next? Just bring it to, we don't have any motions. This is just work sessions.
No, we're just in a work session. The HPC does have, you know, an opportunity to comment on things like this. So you could, you know, direct us to write a letter in response. But if you don't have concerns about it.
It's mostly to give opportunity if there's any concerns with the project, especially as it relates to 106 items, for you to let us know so that we can bring those concerns to Murad effectively. So it's an opportunity for comment.
Okay, thank you. Other than providing, you know, being supportive of it, I guess staff could support it.
That would be wonderful. We would love to have your support. Absolutely.
So if it helps the process, we could direct staff to write a letter of support. Is that what you're saying?
It's absolutely not needed, but it would be 100% be welcomed. I think any and all support that we can show is very helpful for us.
Okay, thank you.
Only thing for me, I was interested in hearing more about why this is included in our historic preservation meeting rather than in planning, but I could see the significance in being concerned about the just preserving the historical essence of the area. But I stand in support of it. Stimulating and, of course, expanding the economy is always a good thing in my eyes, as long as we are mindful of the land that we're working on and making sure that it's the project's being done responsibly so that this project stays an investment rather than a liability. But I'm in support of it. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Vicky, any other comments?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I agree. We should approve it, you know, agree to his work that they're doing.
And I know this is presenting the section 106 and in particular, the cultural resource work that they did. Will we see this again anywhere?
Yes, eventually, hopefully not in the too far future, or as soon as we can. We will bring it up to the city on permit grounds once we are ready to basically submit for permits for construction.
I think it's likely that they won't need any special planning permission for this. But if they did need a variance or something, then it would come to Planning Commission.
Okay, thank you.
But if you, if anyone has any questions, please feel free to at any point direct them towards me. I'm happy to jump any questions or do a presentation if needed, or I can also get Dempsey from PND to present. He's extremely knowledgeable, so happy to do so if it would facilitate anything.
Okay, thank you. All May I have a motion to move out of the work session?
I'll move to exit the work session.
Second.
Okay, moved by Dean, seconded by Marquez.
And a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, moved by Brown, seconded by Marquez to adjourn at 6:40.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
Hi, Vicky.
Yeah, thanks Bye, for calling Vicky. In, Vicky. And thank you, Andres.
Thank you, everyone.
Good night.
Have a good night.